Following is a synopsis of the Rebbe's talk in the year Tavshinun Beis on the first night of the Yom Tov of Sukkos, describing the Ushpizin, both the biblical and their Hasidic counterpart, what each one contributes, and the connection between the biblical and the Hasidic Ushpiz, which means guests. And the Rebbe before that gave an introduction in which he explains how we're able to emulate the Ushpizin and become like them. Now, the first night, first day of Sukkos, is the Ushpiz of Avram Avinu, our father Abraham. Avram was the first, as it says, Echad Hay Avraham, it's a verse in Yecheskel. Abraham was one. He's the one who initiated the whole process of bringing godliness into the world. He did so using rational arguments from the world itself. As the Rambam says, that when he became mature, he began to reflect, how is it possible that the galgal, the spheres, should move and there shouldn't be someone who was moving them? Till he recognized the truth, and he understood that there must be a God that is one God, and he's what makes everything move. He's the prime mover. He created everything. And he began to proclaim this out loud to the entire world and to notify them, to teach them that there is a God to this world. And this is also hinted in his very name, when he was told that his name should no longer be Avram, but Avraham. That means, I am the father of a multitude of nations. He became a father to the whole world, a teacher to the whole world. And from Abraham onward, we were given the strength, we were given the power, because he transmitted it to Yitzchak, and Yitzchak to Yaakov, and Yaakov to all his sons, and through them to all of the Jewish people, to each and every Jew. That just like it says that Abraham was Echad HaYavram, one was Abraham, so too are the Jewish people Goy Echad Ba'aretz, one nation on earth. And every Jew has this power called Eson, the strength, the power, in order to reveal this to the whole world. That's with regard to Avram. And the same thing is true with regard to the Hasidic Ushpiz, the Hasidic guest, the Baal Shem Tov, who was the first one to open up the path to the revelation of the teachings of Hasidus in general Hasidus, which incorporates within it the continuation of the teachings of Chabad Hasidus, through which godliness has been brought into this world with even more force. That the whole world should recognize that the world was created out of utter nothingness with the power of God's essence, and that the Yesh HaNivra, the creation of our existence, becomes one with the Yesh HaMiti, with the true existence. And that will be fully revealed in the future, in the days of Mashiach, as it says, Hashem Yimlech L'Olam V'od, God will reign forever, or V'hoy Hashem L'Melech HaKol Ha'aretz, God will be the king over the whole earth, B'yayimahu Yih Hashem Echad, Ushmei Echad, that day God will be one, and his name will be one. And this is something that the Baal Shem Tov was the one who paved the way to reveal this godly teaching to the world. And the Rebbe then adds and connects it to Geula, to redemption. Avram Avinu, our father Abraham, we say in the Haggadah, Baruch Shemer Habtachas Eli Yisrael, Shor Kadosh Baruch Chishev Esakeitz Lasos, that blessed is the one who keeps his promise to Israel, because God made a calculation. And then it continues, K'masha Amar L'Avram Avinu Ben Habsarim, as God told Abraham in the covenant between the two pieces. And there's a very well-known explanation of the previous Rebbe. The Rebbe refers to him as my father-in-law, the Rebbe, that God has tremendous pleasure, nachas ruach, from the efforts of the Jewish people in exile. And therefore, there could have been a situation in which the exile would extend without any end, because it's generating so much nachas ruach to Hashem. And that's the way we praise him, by saying, Chishev Esakeitz. He calculated the end. That means he did put a deadline. He put an end goal to the Golos and the service that we do in Golos. That is Avraham Avinu, that this promise of Geula, of redemption, was given to Abraham. And there's also a connection to the Baal Shem Tov, because this happened in what is called a Baal Shemska manner. Baal Shemska manner is a description of how things happen way beyond any calculations, way beyond nature, including the calculations of the deadline. But take it from Yad Mamish, immediately and imminently, literally so, the promise of redemption materializes. And not only that, but the wonders of Geula, of the redemption, are not even considered to be a ness, a miracle. It becomes a normal procedure, a normal way of life, just as we say in the expression of Baal Shem's Ganhaga. This is a normal Baal Shem-esque type of conduct. It becomes the norm. The miracle becomes the norm. That was the Rebbe's explanation of the connection between Avraham Avinu and the Baal Shem Tov. The second Ushbiz is Yitzchak, our father Yitzchak. Even though Avraham's preeminent virtue is that he was the first of the patriarchs, before Yitzchak obviously, nevertheless, there's an advantage, there's a virtue that Yitzchak possessed even over Abraham. And it's hinted in the words of the Torah when it says, Ela told us Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram hailed us Yitzchak. These are the children of Yitzchak, the son of Abraham. Abraham fathered Yitzchak. That besides the fact that Abraham fathered Yitzchak, it also underscores Yitzchak's preeminence even before Abraham. First it says Yitzchak, the son of Abraham. And as our sages say, Yafa Kayach HaBen B'Kayach HaAv, that the child has more power than the father. And one aspect of this, the Rebbe says, Yitzchak's birth itself, even before he did anything, was a miraculous birth and was publicized to the whole world. That brought godliness into this world, changed nature. As Sarah said, Tzchayk Asali Elikim Kol Shemei Yitzchakli, God created this laughter, everyone will laugh. Mim Milel Avram, who could have ever anticipated, and who can not find great praise that God kept his promise, that I gave a birth to a child in my old age. Not only that, but afterwards there was another miracle, Hinika Banim Sarah, that Sarah was able to nurse other children in the day that all the aristocratic women brought their children with them, and Sarah nursed them, as we're told. And the Rebbe notes that in addition to the fact that they saw a miracle that she was able to nurse all those children, and this was seen by all the aristocratic women, it also has a direct effect, because the milk comes from blood. As it says, the blood is transformed into milk, and blood is the soul, the life soul of a person. Therefore, when the children of the aristocratic women nursed from Sarah's milk, they also got a part of her very soul, and it certainly had a positive effect on them. And the Rebbe then adds that this idea is especially relevant to this year, the year in which the Rebbe said this sicha, this talk was Hoye Tehei Shnas Nifloiz Ba. This will be a year in which there will be wonders, that the wonders of this year have come in a very open way and publicized to all the nations, that they see that everything in this world, especially when it regards the Jewish people, they see the wonders of God. As it says, La'aisin nefloiz gedolus levata, that he alone does these great wonders, and that brings to a state of joy in this world, kol shemei yitzchakli, and as it says that there was much laughter in the world. And that is especially underscored with Simchas Beis HaSheva, the Simcha that we have in Sukkos, associated with the drawing of water, especially the second night of Sukkos, where the Ishbiz is Yitzchak, whose name itself indicates joy and laughter. That means that it's joy and laughter that has an effect even on the nations of the world. Now the Rebbe goes to the third Ushbiz. That's Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov represents Torah. As it says, Vayakom Eidus B'Yankov, Torah Son B'Yisrael, that God established the testimonies with Jacob, and he placed the Torah to Israel. Now, it should be noted, the Rebbe says, that Yaakov was the third of the patriarchs, and a special connection to the holiday of Sukkot, which is the third of the joyous holidays. And the Torah itself is a threefold Torah. And that explains, the Rebbe says, that when it says that Yaakov taught all his children, and he separated or designated Levi to be the Rosh, the head of the other sons, and he established him, he set him into the position of leading the yeshiva study, source of studying, to teach them the path to Hashem, and keep guarding the commandments that were given to Abraham. And he told his children that they should not stop learning from the sons of Levi, who would be in charge, so that the learning that they had should never be forgotten. And Levi, in particular, is the third, again the number three, of the tribes. And this means that after we opened the path, paved the way to bring godliness in the world through Abraham, and after Yitzchak was born, which itself was revealing godliness in the world, it was a miraculous birth, comes the third phase, which is Yaakov, who represents all of the Jewish people. It's a third phase in bringing godliness into the world through Torah. Torah is the truma of the world. Truma means the separation, the food that we separate to give to the Kohen. So Torah is the truma, the consecrated part of the world. As we know, that the word truma itself consists of two words, Torah and the letter Mem, Torah, which was given in the 40 days, through which we come to the other meaning of the word truma. Besides meaning separation, it also means elevation, that we elevate the whole world by refining the world, that the world senses that its creation was because of Torah, which is called Reishis, the beginning, and because of Israel, the Jewish people, who are called Reishis, the beginning, as is well known, that the Jewish people are also called truma. So that's the significance of the third night. The fourth night, or the fourth guest, is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe was the one through whom the Torah was given. Moshe, as it says, received the Torah at Sinai and then passed it on. And whatever Moshe received contains within it all other teachings that would ever be introduced in the future. As our sages say, whatever a worthy student innovates in the study of Torah was already given to Moshe at Mount Sinai. And the major innovation of what Moshe received at Mount Sinai is not the things that were revealed in his own day and age, but the novelty was that it included also things that would be introduced and innovated later on, that they too were received by Moshe at Mount Sinai. And the Rebbe explains, because at first glance it's hard to understand, since they were all given to Moshe at Sinai, why is it called a chiddush, a novel idea of the student, an innovation? Because what Moshe received was a very general panoramic view, you could say, of all of the Torah. And the novelty of this worthy student is that he's able to take it from its general form and bring out the details and reveal those details. Now, this idea of chiddush, of innovation with Torah, is an essential aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because the chiddush of Torah, the novelty that we get by studying Torah through pilpul. Pilpul is the dialectic discussion, the back and forth, the give and take, questions and answers, delving deeply into the Torah and its explanation for all the different laws, to be able to draw inferences from one matter to another, which leads to discovering new insights and new dimensions of the laws of the Torah. That was especially relevant and associated with Moshe Rabbeinu, as our sages tell us, that this concept of pilpul, the process of engaging the Torah and discussing it and arguing and debating back and forth to find new vistas in Torah, that was given specifically to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he did not have to transmit it to everyone else. It was something just for him, but Moshe, because of his good eye, because of his graciousness, gave it as a gift to all the Jewish people. As it says, Tov ayin hu yivorach, kinasa malach muladal, a person with a good eye, with a positive eye, should be blessed because he gives his bread to the poor. And this is a metaphor for the pilpul of Torah that Moshe gave, that was his bread, so to speak, to the rest of the Jewish people. And once the Torah was given, this became an obligation to every Jew to delve deeply into the Torah and to find new meaning in the Torah. As it says, lafashaba, we're obligated to find chidushim, novel ideas in Torah. You can't be content with learning Torah, the things that were already revealed, but you have to continually add and discover new vistas in Torah. And even though you revealed something new in one day, and three times in the day, you have to do more the next day and the day after, because every moment there's an obligation to learn Torah, there's an obligation to innovate in Torah. So much so, the Rebbe says, that when a person has the ability to do this, to find new meaning in Torah, deeper meanings, and all he does is review what he learned before, things that were already revealed, that in a sense is called bitul Torah. He ceased learning Torah relative to the level of Torah of finding new ideas that he could have had. And our sages tell us, and this is proof of this concept, that we interrupt our learning of Torah to hear the Megillah. So why is it called interruption? Reading the Megillah is also part of Torah. But the answer is, but reading the Megillah does not require deep understanding of the text to find new meaning, whereas when you're learning Torah, you're always finding new dimensions of Torah. So relative to that, reading the Megillah is called bitul Torah, as if you were not learning Torah. And then the Rebbe adds, and this is the main thing, that by finding new dimensions of Torah, we merit the ultimate example of novelty in Torah, which will be revealed in the future. As it says, Torah chadasha me'iti teitzi, a new dimension of Torah will emerge from me, from God. And that will also bring newness and novelty, innovation to the whole world. As it says, Shemayim achadash, there'll be a new heaven, v'haaretz achadash, a new earth. That will happen with a true and complete redemption through a righteous Mashiach. Now the Rebbe says the same thing is true about the Hasidic Ushpiz, the Hasidic guest of the fourth day. The Hasidic guest of the fourth day is the Rebbe Marash. He was the fourth leader of Chabad, and what he stood for was the maxim L'chatchila Ariber. From the very beginning, you go over the obstacles. That when a person counts the Ushpiz and includes the Baal Shem Tov and the Magid, the fourth one is the Mittler Rebbe. And the Mittler Rebbe was Rechevus Hanohar. He was like the breadth of the river. That means the idea of expansive knowledge, taking something the way he does in his Hasidic discourses and amplifying an idea and spreading it out in great breadth. And the understanding that you gain through his discourses are more than the discourses of the Alter Rebbe, his predecessor, which compared to the Mittler Rebbe was like the written Torah, and the Mittler Rebbe was like the oral Torah, which is expansive. And this is a special connection to the idea of pilpul, what we said before was Moshe Rabbeinu's bread, because the order and path of learning involving pilpul is where, through the method of pilpul, you go deeper into the subject, and as a result, you want to go even more deep. As it says, if you have 100, you want 200. That means you're not content with the deeper level. You want to go even still deeper, because there's no limit to the depth of that are associated with the reasons for the halacha and the pilpul going into their reasons and analysis of their reasons. And as a result, you find new halachas, answers to new questions of halacha. And that brings to the ultimate breadth and expansiveness of Torah that is beyond all limits and measures. L'chatchila ariba, it's higher than everything, than all the limits. And there's a special connection, the Rebbe notes, to this year in which the Sicha was said, Tavshin and Beis. The Beis stands for Bina, understanding. That's what the Mittler Rebbe stood for, Bina, expansiveness, taking a kernel, a seminal idea, and elaborating on it, which is something that Bina has over Chachma, which is just the central idea, the seminal idea. And the Rebbe adds that when we talk about the expansiveness of the river, the metaphor for Bina, that includes also those who are the recipients of Torah. Moshe received the Torah and passed it down, And Hamidu Tamidim Harba, he established, it says, men of the great assembly taught us to set up or establish, stand up many students. So that expansiveness applies to the number of students as well. Moreover, and this is the essential point, the Rebbe says, that the increase of students should include all of the Jewish people that will be gathered to our holy land, a land that is called Eretz Teva, a good land, Urechava, and a wide or expansive land, and will all be brought to Yerushalayim, the holy city, in the way that Yerushalayim will be expanded, and there we will merit to learn Torah in the most expansive manner. There can be nothing beyond that. Torah Chadashim Iti Teitzi, a new Torah will come from me.